The first medrash in the Medrash Eicha itself, after the introduction, says Gimel Nisnabu Beloshein Eicha. There are three people who prophesied using the term, the opening term Eicha. Eicha, of course, means how. How did it come? How did it come to pass? Moshe, Yeshaya, v'Yirmiyah. Moshe Amar, Moshe says, Eicha esa levadi. How can I carry by myself Torchachem u'Masachem v'Rivchem, which is a pasuk in this week's parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's so many, how will I by myself be able to bear all of your burdens, your difficulties? Yeshaya Amar, Eicha esa lezayna. Yeshaya said, in what we read as the Haftira for this Shabbos, of Shabbos Chazayin, how did it become Lezayna? How did it become so unfaithful, a Kiryah, a village, a city that was once Nemana, that was once the opposite of Lezayna, that was once very, very faithful? And finally, of course, Yirmiyahu Amar Eicha Yashva Vadak. Yirmiyahu said, and what we will read, what we would read on Tisha B'Av, a week from tonight, would be Eicha Yashva Vadak. How does it sit alone? How does it sit alone, Ha'ira Basiyam Haisa Kalmana? How does it sit alone, the city that was once filled with people, now sitting very much alone and lonely? And Rav Levi said, Mashal Matrina Shahila Gimel Shushvinim, it can be compared to a Matrina, a significant woman who had three Shushvinim, three aides, Echad Ra'isa B'Shalvasa, Echad Ra'isa B'Pachazusa, Echad Ra'isa B'Nivula. One saw her in her best, in her tranquility, and when she was flourishing. One saw her when she was making mistakes, and one saw her downfall. Kach Moshe Ras Yisrael B'Kfayda M'Shalvasa. Moshe saw the Jewish people in their honor, and in their most peaceful time. He said, Eicha Esa Levadi Tarchachem. How can I carry myself all of your difficulties? As he saw a huge people with the issues which they raised again to some degree amongst themselves. And Yeshaya saw them as they were rushing around and again beginning the failure. Yirmiyahu saw them all the way down. So that's the Medrash. Three terms of Eicha. And the three terms of Eicha are all brought together again around this day, around Tisha B'Av and the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, Eicha in the Kriya, Eicha in the Haftorah, and Eicha, of course, as the word, the title word of the Megillah of Yirmiyahu Hanavi that describes the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There's much to explore in the term Eicha. Many speak about it, all kinds of things, B'derech Pshat, B'derech Hadrash, And I'm not going to go into the details of the word, of the significance of the word, of how it's there. Some say Eicha goes back to the Ayeka, which Hashem said to Adam HaRishon after his original sin, the original downfall. There's many beautiful and deep meanings that are inherent in this magic word of Eicha. I would want to just talk in a sense, almost to some degree, with Derech HaPshat, in the simple and straightforward way, about how these things come together. About how, certainly for us, the way we see it, these things come together. Eicha esa levadi tarchachem u'masachem v'rivchem. The words which Moshe Rabbeinu said in this week's Parsha are placed in a very key place, and in an unexpected and unusual place. On the one hand, the Parsha begins, Sefer Dvorim begins with Moshe Rabbeinu setting the tone for where they are after they had killed, destroyed in battle, Sichon and Og. Hashem came to me, spoke to me at Horeb at Sinai saying, you've gone around this mountain enough, now go to Har HaEmori, go to Eretz Yisrael. That's the instruction. You're good to go. You're ready to go. Come and conquer the land that Hashem promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? From Har Sinai, actually 50 days later, go to Eretz Yisrael. And if we will pause there and we go ahead, skip about 7-8 verses, then we get to Vatzave Eschem Ba'isahi, Vanisa Mechairev, and we travel from Chairev, and we traveled Kol Amidbar Agol Vanoir Ahu Asher Isem, all of that awesome and great desert that you have seen, as Hashem instructed us. And I said, you've come to Har Amori, Hashem has given you land, go, conquer it. And then we get into the Chet HaMeraglim. But in between, instruction number one, okay, it's time to go, and instruction number two, time to go, which gets interrupted by the Meraglim, we have this interruption. And the interruption is, you know, I can't do it myself. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo yuchal v'adisei seschem. I can't carry you by myself. Hashem has made you so many. You are as many as the stars of the sky. Hashem should give you many, many more, 1,000 times more. But how can I bear by myself all of your burdens, all of your masachim, all of your difficulties, all of your rivchem, all of your arguments? And so Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he instructs them to give me people, leaders who would be able to take the position of Sari Alofim, Sari Meis, and so on and so forth, the ministers to the thousands, to the hundreds, to the tens, that there should be other people besides from Moshe Rabbeinu who are charged with taking care of the Jewish people. What's this referring to? Where did this actually happen? So it's a confusing episode, really, in terms of what it alludes to, because there are two places in Chumash, if you recall, where Moshe Rabbeinu brought in other people to lead the Jewish people. Where were they? The first time was in Parshas Yisrei. What happened? Yisrei sees all the people waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu in line for din, and Yisrei says, it's too much, right? It's going to be difficult for you, it's going to be difficult for them, and so he says, you should appoint for yourself other judges, thousands, hundreds, tens, exactly as it says it here. But it was Yisrael's idea. Moshe Rabbeinu never said, I can't take it. Yisrael said, if you don't watch out, you won't be able to take it. Naval Tibo. Moshe Rabbeinu was not the one of the initiative, it was the idea of Yisrael. On the other hand, there was one place where Moshe Rabbeinu said, how can I carry the Jewish people? And as a result, other people were appointed. Where was that? That was in Parshas Bahaloscha, by when the Jewish people complained about the food. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't provide for these people. Am I responsible for them? Did I give birth to them? Do you make me carry them around like a mother or a nurse carries around the baby? Right? So Hashem said, okay. So Moshe said, I can't do it by myself. So Hashem said, okay, get me 70 people. Remember the whole story over there. Now there it doesn't say about thousands or hundreds or tens. It's 70 people, flat rate. Doesn't matter how many. Therefore, 70 people to help Moshe Rabbeinu. So, you understand the ambiguity? On the one hand, the way the Parsha here portrays Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint, it sounds like Parshas Bahaloscha. On the other hand, the response sounds like Parshas Yisrael. You understand what I'm saying? On the one hand, the complaint is Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint. How can I carry them myself? That he said in Parshas Bahaloscha. On the other hand, the response is Parshas Yisrael, which is you're going to have all these ministers for all the different levels. Something of an ambiguity here. Moshe Rabbeinu, to some degree, it would seem almost as lumping them together. He's not putting it on Yisrael that it was Yisrael's issue or Yisrael's complaint. He is taking it to some degree for himself. How can I bear it myself? Okay. Most understand that this is a reference to Yisrael because of the explicit thousands, hundreds, tens, which is what was found by Yisrael. And what was the issue? Moshe Rabbeinu complained about Torchachem u'masachem v'rivchem. What does it mean, Torchachem u'masachem v'rivchem? What kind of difficulties was he referring to? So Rashi says Torchachem elam yishe Yisrael tarchanim. The Jewish people were somehow tedious. If somebody was in an argument with somebody else and they see the tide is turning against them, they were stubborn. They could never lose. So they would say, one second, I think we have other witnesses. And they would stall the close of the case. You know, sometimes when a person's in a case like that, at a certain point the judge has to say, that's it, finished. Right? If the person's still saying, one second, I'm not finished, I have another argument to make, you can go on forever. So that was the tachanim of the Jewish people. That was that piece what he was complaining about. Masachim. Malavichay apikarsim. They were like heretics. Moshe Rabbeinu went out, so they said, why is Moshe Rabbeinu going out? Is he not happy at home? Icher lotzeis, if he came late, why is he coming out late? He must be sitting and scheming at home. Who knows what is going on? And Rivchem, and your arguments, Malavichay uragnim. They were argumentative. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's issue. Tarchachem asachem Rivchem. You do the elaborate translation of Rashi, or you don't. It sounds like all of the different issues which would arise between the people. That's the big difference, to some degree, between Baha'u'llah Yischa and Yisrei. In Parshas Yisrei, the people were not raising issues with Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting there, standing to give mishpat between people that had arguments with each other. In Parshas Baha'u'llah Yischa, people were crying against Hashem. They were complaining about the food. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't help them vis-a-vis Hashem so much. So therefore, they brought in these 70 people who would be out there, get Nevuah. They would be prophets too. They, to some degree, would also carry the message from Hashem. But here, the way the Parsha presents it, it was the Eicha of the interpersonal difficulties which existed within the Bnei Yisrael, within the Jewish people. And that's to a great degree what the kind of dinim that Yisrael had to have them address. Tarchachem u'masachem berivchem was the argument which existed between the Bnei Yisrael. And the Parsha puts that in as being the difficulty between the time when we traveled away from Har Sinai to go towards Eretz Yisrael and the time that the Schet HaMeraglim, the sin of the Meraglim, pops up. Remember that when the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, we don't feel this. We don't feel this kind of difficulty. When the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, we see them as Kish Echad, B'Lev Echad, one man with one heart. The remarkable unity that we talk about, that Chazal alluded to, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, the Jewish people were alluded to in the singular. There was a unity to the Jewish people that was there at Har Sinai. Here, as they traveled away from Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly sees them, and not inaccurately, for the divisive and argumentative group which they were. The difficulties, the interpersonal difficulties which existed between them. That's the Eicha that Yeshayahu specifically speaks about. In the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazayin, in the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu, which is from the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu, the Navi says, Eicha hoysal lezayna kiryon emona, how did it become unfaithful, that faithful city? So what would you think it refers to? You know, many times Zayna, in broader terms, refers to avodah zarah, idol worship, you know, an unfaithfulness and infidelity towards Hashem. But the pasuk explains itself, and the pasuk says as follows: Eicha hoysal lezayna kiryon emona, mleasi mishpat, that which had been once filled with justice, tzedek yolinba, where righteousness rested or slept, right? Careful justice, as the Gemara darshins on tzedek yolinba, ve'ata meratzchim, but now they're killing each other. Kaspe choyel esigim, savech mol bamoyim, sorayet sorim, v'chavrei ganavim, kulei hevshechet v'ideif, shalmanim, yosayim le'yishpoitu v'rival manol yavei aleihem. It describes how the money of the Jewish people is impure because it's begotten impurely. Everything that they had was diluted. Their leaders were distorted, ganavim, thieves, taking advantage of one another, not helping out one another, not helping out the widowed or the orphaned. That's the Eicha that he saw. The internal downfall which he saw, which would lead to Yirmiyahu saying, Eicha Yoshva Vada, the Yir Avasiyam, how does the city that was once filled with people, now it's empty, that falls on the heels of this. This Eicha Heisel Zayna, which is because of the breakdown of the society of the Jewish people. Not the religious complaints of Parshas Bahalaischa, or even, in a certain sense, of the Meraglim. The Meraglim is a separate episode. Yes, to some degree, maybe it draws from here, and we'll see about that. We'll try to see a little bit about that. But it starts with this. It starts with the signal, the red flag of the Torah is Eicha Esa Levadi Tarchachem Masachem Berivchem. You're arguing too much. You're arguing much too much. This is not unfamiliar. Maybe we would say, well, in the period of Yeshayo, of Yirmiyo, was that really the issue? But the way we read it, the way we read the Nevuah, with direct the prophecy for the generations, we know very well how Chazal accented that that was the issue. The Gemara famously says in Maseches Yuma that as they searched for the basis, for the reasons for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, says the Gemara, Mikdash Rishayim, but when it came to the first Beis HaMikdash, why was it destroyed? Because of three things that were going on there. Aveda Zara, Gili Arayas, and Shvichas Dama. The three major Averas, idol worship, immorality, murder. And the Gemara brings Psukim to illustrate that all of these things were going on. Aval Mikdash Sheni, but what about the second Beis HaMikdash? That they were involved in Torah and mitzvahs. They were involved in kindness. Why was it destroyed? Because during that period there was Sinas Chinam. Which, what that mean? Right? Needless hatred, baseless hatred, unproductive hatred, whatever it was, no good hatred. La'amercha, this teaches you sheshkula sinas chinam keneged sholesh averes. That shows you how needless hatred corresponds to the three major averes. So we know, you've all heard this 1,000 times, that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of needless hatred. You all know the story which the Gemara says about Akamsu bar Kamsu Chorv Yerushalayim. How Yerushalayim was destroyed, the trigger episode, right? It was not the reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed. But the trigger episode for the destruction of Yerushalayim was the story of Kamsa bar Kamsa. A fellow had a friend named Goldberg and an enemy named Goldberger. Right? He had the Kamsa bar Kamsa, two very similar names. They delivered the wedding invitation to the wrong one. They delivered the wedding invitation to the enemy and said it to the friend. He's going around, you know, toasting his guests at the chasana, and suddenly he sees his enemy there and he wants to toast him a little bit differently. So he writes, he says, "Well, what's going on? What are you doing here?" Says, you know, I got an invitation, you know, maybe it was a mistake, but I got an invitation. You're not going to throw me out, are you? He says, you better not throw you out. He says, please let me stay, I'll pay you for my meal. He says, no, out, I'll pay for half the wedding. Half the wedding. You know what people would do to get half a wedding paid for? Right, you know, and he said, no, sorry, out, I'll pay for the whole wedding. The whole wedding. The photographer too. Now, the whole wedding is who's going to pay for. No, he's not going to do it. Right, so he throws him out. Bar Kamsa is so upset that he goes and he achal beikurtza beimalka. Right, he starts the process which leads to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Sinas chinam, spite. Right, what does it bother you to have him there? Look how much he's offering you everything. Right, but you hate him so much. He hated him so much. He just wanted to have him out of there, even though it was self-destructive. Right, that's always where it seems to be the sinas chinam. It's like nothing. The only gain is the spite. The only gain is the spite. The Gemara says that there's the lion and the snake. The difference between the lion and the snake is the lion is very destructive, but it only destroys things that it wants to eat. It's eating it for itself. So whatever it is, it's vicious, it will destroy, but to eat it, to benefit from it. The snake is Darius Veino Echo. The snake destroys, even though it doesn't eat anything. It just leaves the corpse lying there. It doesn't get anything out of it. That's the nachash. And and the Romans who destroyed the second Beis Hamikdash are compared to the snake. The Babylonians who destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash are compared to the lion. They're compared to the Ari. And it's like, just spite. Sinas chinam. Okay. So you say, okay, two court cases, they're arguing, that's not spite, they're profiteering, they're gaining from this one, from that one. But this is where we lay the blame. This is where we lay the blame on this phenomenon called Sinas Chinam. Maral says a magnificent thing. Maral says like this. The first Beis HaMikdash versus the second Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash, we know, was a place of incredible holiness. Every Beis HaMikdash, of course, is a place of incredible holiness. But in the case of the first Beis HaMikdash, the presence of Hashem was manifest. It was clear. There was a visible Hashras HaShchina. They had the Luchos there. They had the Urim V'Tumim, the parts of the Kohen's vestments that would allow him to answer questions with divine communication. The second Beis HaMikdash lacked these things. Well, it says five things, also Gemara Neum. Five things were missing from the second Beis HaMikdash that were the five basic elements of the Hashras HaShchina, of the presence of Hashem. Second Beis HaMikdash was a shadow of the first. Whereas the first was a period which was characterized by Nevuah and the open presence of Hashem and the Jewish people. The second, there wasn't that. Right? Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi were the last prophets. They prophesied about the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. And then they went out of business. They were members of the original group for the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but then they were gone. And the second Beis HaMikdash was a period without Nebuah, without prophets. Hashem wasn't clearly, vividly there. It was a building that was built by the Jewish people from which they would serve Hashem. Where we believed, understood, on some level Hashem was there, but it wasn't clear at all. So what role did the second Beis HaMikdash then have? The first Beis HaMikdash, nobody has a question, what role does it have? Hashem is there, you see it. The second Beis HaMikdash, if Hashem really isn't there, then what was the power of the second Beis HaMikdash? The power of the second Beis HaMikdash was as the focal point of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people. The Tel Talpios, the hill to which all the mouths turned, which all the people turned. Remember that the Beis HaMikdash is also this dramatic point of connection, of assembly for all of the Jewish people. For all of the Jewish people. Everyone to this day turns as they daven towards the Beis HaMikdash. It brings us together that way. In this time of the Beis HaMikdash when it stood, so then it was where everybody came to be able to regel. They all converged there for the pilgrimage. If they didn't live around it like they did in the Midbar, where it became where it was the focal point of the nation, because everybody lived and encamped around it, it became at least visibly the focal point by those times of Yom Tov when all of Klal Yisrael would come to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they would all converge upon this place. I've discussed with many of you before how it was when Yeravam ben Nevat wanted to split away 10 tribes from Malchus Beis David, and he successfully did so. What did he have to do the next morning? He said, I have to create an alternative to the Beis HaMikdash. So he built two temples in the north and south of his kingdom. Why? Because he said, as long as they're going to the Beis HaMikdash, that's going to keep the Jewish people together. If I'm trying to have a successful breakaway state, I have to somehow undermine the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Maral, these are the two functions of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is a house for Hashem, but the Beis HaMikdash is a place where all of the Jewish people come together. The first Beis HaMikdash, which was that dominant view of the Beis HaMikdash, the most obvious thing was it was the house of Hashem. The way it was brought down was by major sins. Major sins. Gilui Arayos, Shlichus Dam, Aveidah Zarah. We're not going to get into the details here. But those are considered the major cardinal sins, each one of which you find in the Psukim causes Hashem to move away. Causes Hashem to move away. So you have a house of Hashem, and you do behavior which is anti-Hashem, which causes Hashem to move away, there goes your house of Hashem. But the second Beit HaMikdash, says the Gemara, second Beit HaMikdash was not being asked Hashem. No religious affront would do it. In fact, we kept it all, says the Gemara. But that would be destroyed when what its dominant element, when the dominant element of that Mikdash would be destroyed. And the dominant element of that Mikdash was the collective of Kol Yisrael. That it was the place for all of the Jewish people. The Mikdash was that convergence of everybody. And so when there's Schina, and there's needless hatred, that's what breaks down that Beis HaMikdash. Because then, we're not one anymore. Then we're not one anymore. Then we lose that. That's what Yeshayahu, even though he was in the first Beit HaMikdash, that was what Yeshayahu was speaking about. When he speaks about a Kirya Nemana, a city that was once faithful, filled with mishpat, filled with justice, filled with people taking care of one another, became a city of murderous geneva, of thieving and stealing and argument, and people not standing up for one another. A nation that was together, that in this city, Yerushalayim ki'ir shechubra la yachtav. Yerushalayim is described as the city of connection and of unity. It's supposed to bring the Jewish people together. David HaMelech only moved to Yerushalayim when he had all of the Jewish people together around him. Right? When they all joined, when the people who were the naysayers to him assuming the kingdom came around and said, no, he's really great, he should lead us. Yerushalayim, that city which represents the unity of the Jewish people, Yeshayahu looks at it and he says, give me a break. Oh my goodness. Look what's happening. Togetherness? There's no togetherness in this place anymore. Everybody's fighting with each other. Everybody's arguing with each other. Eicha, how could that happen? And that leads to Eicha Yoshua. And that started already, to some degree. Moshe Rabbeinu already observed it to some degree. And the people who were waiting in line, because they needed somebody to sort out their arguments. Parchachem, umasachem, berivchem. That was it. That was the beginning. That's the seed. That's the beginning to a great degree. It's the beginning of the end. A disunity. The story of the Meraglim that comes later, that figures so prominently in the story of Tisha B'Av. So we say, you know, what's going on? That's nothing to do with interpersonal. That's not Sinas Chinam. That's Bechir Shal Chinam. That was a crisis of faith. They didn't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? They didn't see that Hashem was necessarily going to follow through and take them to Eretz Yisrael and everything else. It's not. Of course it expresses itself in a crisis of faith. But it's a crisis of faith which is evidently born first of an inability to have this, sort of a togetherness. Tarchachem umasachem v'rivchem. Something is missing first. Yeah, I can have theories. We can talk about the fact that the problem was that they didn't trust Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? They went and they did their own mutiny against Moshe Rabbeinu. They had to give their own opinions. They needed to decide for themselves. So that's a compromise to some degree in the unity and the achdus of the Bnei Yisrael, of the Jewish people. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to exactly relate this aspect of this Chet HaMeraglim, of the sin of the spies, to the sin of Tarchachem, Umasachem, Rivchem. I wonder even if that ambiguity, which we pointed out at the beginning of the shiur here tonight, between whether this was Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint about the interpersonal issues, or whether this was Moshe Rabbeinu talking about the crises of faith which the Bnei Israel had. Where they're asking Hashem to give them all the food, and he says, I can't take care of them this way by myself. it somehow gets jumbled up together. It somehow gets jumbled up together. That the failure in faith is going to come together with a failure in the nemonos, in the honesty, in the commitment, in the ava, in the interpersonal which exists between people. Remember how we started? Remember how Klal Yisrael started? Once upon a time, there was a fellow whose name was Avram. What was special about Avram? Right? So if I ask you that question, and you weren't just sitting there, right? So you would say, some of you would say, right? I say, okay, write down, what's special about Avram? One thing. Okay, good, thank you. You do speak. Right? So, right? Some would say, monotheism, his recognition of Hashem, his emunah in Hashem, his avas Hashem, right? All the wonderful religious things about Avram. And others would say, Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was chesed. Avram Avinu enveloped the whole world in his love. Avram Avinu, iches kol bo yelam. He unified the world. He brought them together. So which one was he? With the real Avram Avinu, please stand up. So I guess they're both mixed up together. Right? You want to figure out how those two things relate to each other? Okay, so you have something to do for homework. But they're not two separate things. It's not like there's this be a nice guy and also be religious. You know, you can't be a nice guy and not be religious. You can't be religious and not be a nice guy. I don't know if I said that correctly. I said we used a lot of negatives there. But whatever it is, you understand what I mean. It goes together. Be'emes. In truth, it goes together. And sometimes one part is more dominant. When you're living in a time when Hashem's presence is vivid and visible amongst the Jewish people, so maybe that part is more dominant. And when you're living in a time when Hashem's presence isn't visible, when all you have is the collective of Klal Yisrael that's visible, then maybe that theme becomes more dominant. But they're both present, together, all the time. They're both present there together all the time. And that's the nakuda, that's the point here that we understand is the direct target of the Echa. Of Echa after Echa after Echa. Of each one of the three Echas that we bemoan. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yishayo HaNavi, Yirmiyo HaNavi, from the best of times to the worst of times. Is this issue of Tarchachem Masachem Rivchem, of Knesset Yisrael, of having the Jewish people together as one in order to be able to have it. On Shabbos, we have three tefillahs. Every day we have three tefillahs. But it's not really three, it's one. We say the same tefillah three times. Right? Every day, every weekday, we say the same tefillah for Maariv, for Shacharis, for Mincha. Every Yom Tov day, we say the same tefillah for Maariv, for Shacharis, for Mincha. It's the same thing. Same Sholem, Sholem. Maybe a little details, but the same tefillah all the way through. Rosh Hashanah, same thing. And Musaf is different. Okay, because Musaf is additional offerings. Different each one of those special days, but Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, Shacharis, Mincha, exactly the same except Shabbos. Shabbos we have a different Shmoneh Esrei for Maariv, a different Shmoneh Esrei for Shacharis, a different Shmoneh Esrei for Mincha. The Torah explains that the idea is that it corresponds to the three Shabbosos of creation of history. There's the Shabbos of creation, when Hashem created the world on the seventh day He rested, and we speak about that on the Shmoneh Esrei Friday night, the beginning of Shabbos. Then there was the Shabbos on which the Torah was given, which is sort of like that midpoint, creation, the giving of the Torah. Now we speak about Shabbos morning. Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelko. Moshe will rejoice at the gift that Hashem gave him. V'shamu v'nei Yisrael says Shabbos, which is said there at Matan Torah. And then Mincha. What's Mincha? That's the Shabbos of the end of days. The Shabbos of redemption. Harachman v'yanach ilenu yem shekul Shabbos. The Shabbos which we pray for. And at Mincha, that's what we speak about. We don't quote Vayechulu like we do Friday night, which is from the seventh day of creation, or Vishamru, which is from Shabbos. We just say, Ato Echad, Vishimcha Echad, You are one and your name is one. When are you in one? One and your name one, Hashem? Right? What do we say at the end of every single davening? And the Gula will come. The Nehemar, Hashem HaMelech, HaKol HaRetz, Hashem will be the king of the whole earth. On that day, Hashem will be one and his name will be one. Right? It's talking about Gula. Umika Amcha Yisrael, Goya Chad Varetz. You are one. Your name is one. We are one. Who is like you? Amcha Yisrael, like your people, Klal Yisrael, Goya Chad Varetz. One nation, one land. The ability to be able to have a revelation of Hashem Echad is contingent on a revelation of Am Echad, of Amcha Yisrael Ve'echad Baretz. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. To have a sense of Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad, the Klal Yisrael, one nation, one people. That's simultaneous to, necessary for this idea of V'hoyeh Hashem HaMelech HaKol HaRetz, that Hashem should be the king, that Hashem should be one and his name should be one. It takes that. So you understand why Avraham Avinu would be the key to bringing it together. Avraham Avinu brings Klal Yisrael together, and he's the father of Klal Yisrael. He brings the whole world together. These things have to happen this way. They have to happen this way. In a sense, I shared with some of you once this idea, just, you have to have this picture of the world. Our picture of the perfect time is, the end of days is Gan Eden. In Gan Eden we were once. And what was there? There was one man. A man named Adam. A man named man. Adam was mankind. He did something and it affected mankind. He was mankind as one person. As one person. And then he had two children. And what did they do? They killed each other. Right? Sibling rivalry defined. They killed each other. And then we go through all the torturous things. The world gets destroyed in the time of Noach. Why? Because of Hamas. Because of lack of Shalom, right? They didn't, it wasn't destroyed in the time of the Tower of Babel because they were peaceful. They came up with a joint project. Time of the Mabul. And then we say, oh! But when the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, it was like we were back in Gan Eden. Right? We became immortal again. We became healed of all our wounds and all of our illnesses. Even the blind were able to see. The deaf were able to hear. Sinai Hospital. What happened? What do we describe? Kish echad b'lein echad. Like one man with one heart. We're back to Gan Eden. One person. And then, the golden calf. What happened with the golden calf? Eila Elehecha Yisrael Asher Elucha Mi'etz Mitzrayim. These are your gods. All over the place. Evil Leluhus Habe. They wanted all kinds of them. A disunity. That kind of a breakup. You saw them laughing. Chazal say they were killing each other. Okay. The religious with the interpersonal, you know, underneath the surface. But for the end of days, we have to be back like one person, like Adam HaRishon and Gan Eden, like one person, like Klal Yisrael. Ka'amcha Yisrael Goyachad Baretz. I didn't tell you anything tonight, I think you didn't know. Right? You knew this all. We all know it all. This is the ABCs of Golos. The ABCs of where we are. Of reinforcing for ourselves. However, when we get together to reinforce for ourselves this essential component of coming out of it, this essential component of forging Amcha Yisrael Ve'echad Baretz, of no such thing as a Yosem or an Almana being by themselves. There's no such thing as being a people of argument or dissension. Sim shalom, toivu v'racha, chen v'chesed v'rachma leinu al Yisrael anecha. The last word that we say in the davening, in the morning, which is the bracha of daylight, it's the bracha of Geula, the davening of Geula, where things are so much, the differences are all differences of how explicit we make it. Say, Hashem, bring shalom and all the good blessings. Barchenu avinu kulanu ke'echad ba'ar panecha. Bless us, our Father, all of us, as one, by the ar panecha, by the light of your face. By gilui pnei Hashchina. That's the prayer for the Midrash. That's the prayer for Geula. That's the prayer for revelation. It's the prayer for Shalom. It's the prayer that we should be able to be blessed ke'echot, as if we're one person again. As if we're one person again. To erase tarchachem, masachem, erivchem. To erase people standing in line, disputes that have to be sorted out. Right? Let alone not even bothering to stand in line, but being happy with those little disputes the way they are. Kadosh Baruch Hu should focus us in on what is needed, which is this embracing of everybody, kulanu ke'echad, as one, so no one should be lost, no one should fall between the cracks on any level, so we can be kulanu ke'echad, and we could be zeicha too. Ayema hu yeh Hashem echad u'shmaya.